This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Samantha Watson. Breakup is well underway along the lower Kuskokwim River as intact ice steadily mushes out, but the show is far from over. A flood watch has been issued for Gweethluk until Monday evening, after ice jammed on the lower Kuskokwok Channel resulted in water rising in and near Gweethluk on Sunday. Upriver in Aniak, waters that inundated low-lying parts of the community over the weekend had subsided as of Sunday evening, but plenty of ice remained just downriver at Birch Crossing, and Aniak remains under a flood watch until Monday evening. Further downriver, Kalskag saw intact ice start to move on Sunday and is also under flood watch until Monday evening. On the upper river at McGrath, a flood watch also remains in effect until Monday evening. Anyone living in or near any of the communities of concern should be prepared to take action. For the latest on Kuskokwim River breakup, stay tuned for today's River Watch update at 8:40, airing every weekday just after Yuktun Gnomchit until the end of breakup. For decades, Alaskans have peeled open paper pull tabs in bars and bingo halls across the state. Now, lawmakers are debating whether electronic pull tabs should be added to the mix. The debate comes as increasing costs and decreasing demand are hurting nonprofits that benefit from the games. KNOM's Ben Townsend explains.
Paper pull tabs haven't changed much over the years. Most are two layers of paper about the size of a credit card sandwiched together. Players rip small, perforated windows to reveal colorful combinations of fruits or figures. Just the right combination could land you $300. It's a game of chance. Some strike gold, others count their losses. But the operator always wins, with the odds engineered to make enough to cover the cost of the game and leave a little left over. Those leftovers go to nonprofits under 1960's Alaska Charitable Gaming Act. Over half a century later, the paper pull tab's much younger brother, the E-Tab, wants to play too.
So the concept about modernizing pull tabs or rippies has been around for quite a while.
This is Senator Jesse Bjorkman, a Republican from the Kiski. He's sponsoring a bill that would overhaul the state's pull tab laws.
But the need as costs for labor, insurance, and then the paper pull tab costs themselves for the paper tickets really has eroded charities and nonprofits' ability to make money from charitable gaming.
Most pull tabs sell for $1, and depending on the game, about 85 cents go back to the players as prizes. The other 15 cents are split between a designated nonprofit, the distributor, and the venue that sold the pull tab. In this scenario, the state also collects a fifth of a penny as tax. Bjorkman says increased shipping costs for the heavy paper product is putting a squeeze on money going to nonprofits, and statewide, overall revenue is trending down. According to the Alaska Department of Revenue, the amount going to nonprofits peaked at just over $30 million in 2022. It was down about $8.5 million in 2024. Rather than shipping massive pallets of paper, the e-tabs would run on tablet computers. Think an iPad. People would buy a number of plays and tap, tap, tap until they're out of turns. But don't call it gambling, Bjorkman says.
I think it's very important for people to know and rest assured that we are not expanding gambling with this bill.
Senator Jesse Kiel, a Democrat from Juneau, disagrees.
Fundamentally, I have an objection to the bill's expansion of gambling in Alaska. Of adding a newer, more addictive method with the screens. I have spoken with the sponsor. He's not caught by surprise here, but this bill has a long way to go, more opportunities to work on it.
Matt Fisher runs Alaska Wholesale, a Soldotna-based distributor of pull tabs.
My dad started this business 30 years ago. He was a paper guy. A lot of the paper players are getting older, and the younger players, they've already got a phone in their pocket, that they have access to an online casino.
The U.S. Supreme Court legalized sports betting in 2018. In the 5 years that followed, Americans' spending on online sports betting ballooned from $5 to over $120 billion a year, according to the Journal of the American Medical Association. Sports betting is illegal in Alaska, but some platforms exploit loopholes to reach people in the state.
So what you'll see is they're popping their phone out, and they are playing some type of game that isn't generating any money for nonprofits in Alaska, and it's going to some international gambling outfit.
Fisher is an advocate for Bjorkman's bill. He says by eliminating the cost of paper tickets, the games can pay out more to players and nonprofits.
And so what the ETABS does is it allows that entertainment to be in the bar, and the bar generates a little bit of revenue. The nonprofits generate a whole lot of revenue. What we can do with this is amazing.
The bill would also allow charitable gaming on Alaska Marine Highway System ferries, which Bjorkman says would supplement revenue from fares. Co-chair of the House Finance Committee, Neil Foster, says this bill is one of hundreds he's seen since this group of lawmakers first convened last year. At the end of April, he thought it was likely to die when the regular legislative session ends on May 20th.
I just don't see it making it through the entire process.
In fact, Bjorkman's bill has been ripe since the end of March for the full Senate to send it to the House. Bjorkman wasn't immediately available to comment on why it stalled or why now, about 7 weeks later, his bill is moving again. With reporting from Juneau, I'm Ben Townsend in Nome.
Whaling is an essential part of subsistence hunting in Siberian Yupik culture. High school student Tracy Tungian in the village of Gamble on St. Lawrence Island wanted to understand more about it. So he interviewed a whaling captain from the community, William Parks, nicknamed Wiyu. He spoke to Parks in the library of the Gamble School and asked him whether whaling is easy or difficult.
There's a degree of difficulty in it. You got to think of how enormous the whale is. You're in basically a washtub compared to the size of that whale. Depending on how the whale is moving, it could be pretty straightforward, catch up to it, strike. And then there's some days where the tails are really thrashing, you can't get close to them. We use these harpoons that have a barrel on there. We call them buscon. I don't know what they're called in English. I've always known them as buscon. It has a harpoon, buoy line, buoy, and it fires either a black powder bomb or a penthrite bomb into the whale.
What does like hunting mean to you?
That's a good question. To me, hunting is mostly about survival. It's about tradition, and it's about feeding family, relatives, the community, which is the most important part of life, in my opinion. You need food to survive. I think mostly it's like second nature to me. I don't even think of how important this to me anymore, more so that it's the way I was brought up to live. It's a part of me. It's been a part of me since I was 2 or 3 years old.
Was it easier hunting back then or?
Back then it was, seasons were more predictable, weather was more predictable. In a way, it was easier. Nowadays, with lack of ice, bigger storms, shorter opportunities to head out, yeah, I think it's more difficult now compared to back then. The windows of good weather are getting shorter. I know that everybody that goes out hunting isn't doing it for fun or sport. They're doing it in means of trying to harvest food. Is a part of who we are as people, as the community. Hunting is part of our nature. It's been for thousands of years.
Why is catching a whale so important for Gamble?
I think it's important mostly because the size of the catch. There's enough to feed everybody. Just the sheer size of the whale, it's an opportunity to feed the community, to have a community gather. Whaling has been part of our culture since the first quail swam and man saw it. It was a means of survival.
That was William Wiyu Parks speaking with high school student Tracy Tungian about his work as a whaling captain. They both live in the village of Gamble on St. Lawrence Island. Tungian produced that story with former KNOM reporter Wally Rana and Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra as part of a grant-funded collaborative media project. You can find more at alaskapublic.org. This is KYUK News. I'm Samantha Watson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yukchung Gnonchik